the future. There are no people in the future.
No people at all.
There are no people in the future.
Where did all my people go?
There are no people in the future.
Let me try my people call.
Hey everybody, welcome to Raging Chickens Out to Coop Live. Yes, it is our call-in show for Monday, June 7th, 2021. Here in Out to Coop Live, we talk to progressives, activists, and troublemakers of all sorts, right from our own backyards from across the country. On Fridays, Sean Kitchen and I break down the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. And we've got a brand new show. Yes, it is a brand new addition to the Raging Chicken family of podcasts. And it's on Wednesday, and it's called The Wednesday Show. Yes, it's The Wednesday Show with Cyril Mikulenko. Cyril is a progressive columnist from the Bucks County Courier-Times and the Intelligencer. In that show, we drill down into Bucks County and PA politics, and we get into some of the international book chat, a whole bunch of other stuff too as well. You can get all our shows by subscribing to our podcast on Podbean, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcast. And make sure when you get head over there to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, wherever it is, make sure you leave us that 5-star rating and kind of give us that big thumbs up so other people can find the show. And you can help support this show by becoming a patron for as little as $5 a month. Just go to patreon.com/rcpress. And you can also help out the show right now by heading on over to our YouTube channel if you're not there at all and smash that subscribe button, like the stream for this show, and hit that notification bell so you know every time that we go live. We are also broadcasting live, on Riverside FM. Join us on riverside.fm and you can call in during the show, during the second half of the show. There's information about that right in our kind of show notes over on our YouTube channel right now. For more PA progressive talk, tune in to the Rick Smith Show's live stream at 9 p.m. Eastern on his YouTube channel, Twitter, Facebook, you know, wherever you get your streams. Rick's there. And you can also subscribe to his daily podcast. Just get all the information. Just go to thericksmithshow.com for all the latest across all his platforms. And look, and you've heard me talk about it for kind of like weeks now, but if you are not already on this train, you better get on it and get on and over and make sure that you're listening to the Sisters of the Night Caucus podcast. The amazing PA women stirring the political cauldron behind this podcast rock the house. And they know where the bodies are buried. Spooky, right? Yep. Well, make sure to follow them on Twitter at the Night Caucus and subscribe to their podcast on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast. You might be hearing it's my daughter in the background who's always here, kind of a listener to the show. She's also my commentator and censor, so to keep me on the straight and narrow. And attention gamers also, got to give the shout out to the Game Inn. That's a Game Inn with two N's. It's a Quakertown-based black family-owned gaming store. They're friends of the show. They got everything for your retro N64s, latest consoles, you know, everything you want. Action figures, Funko Pops, old games, new games, you got it. Check them out on the Facebook page. Check them out on Twitter at the Game Inn with two N's. And look at this. Your kid gets an A, they get a discount. How about that? Check out all their stuff at thegamein.com. And I'll tell you right now, given the right-wing breeding ground that a lot of gaming environments are, you want to make sure that your gaming dollars are going right to the people who are on our side of the ticket. So here we go. Special shout-out once again goes to Jonathan Mann, who wrote our intro song, There Are No People in the Future. Check out all his great stuff on his YouTube page and follow him on Twitter at SongADayMan. That's with two N's, at SongADayMan on Twitter. Well, on today's show, I am thrilled to welcome Colleen Gray Wynn to the show. Colleen is a candidate for PA State House in Cumberland County. Currently, that's the 87th district, but you know, we're in this kind of redistricting kind of upside down world right now, so we don't know if that's where it's going to end up, but that's where she is right now. Colleen has been living with type 1 diabetes since the age of 3. She co-founded the Keystone Diabetic Kids Camp, where she continues to serve on the planning committee and volunteers as a camp counselor. She is a member of the board of directors for the Nicholas Wolf Foundation, which hosts summer camps for children with disabilities. She is the co-founder of Harrisburg Beer Week, which I just found out this week and I was freaking thrilled, right? She is a state leader for the hashtag Insulin for All movement and has worked in both volunteer volunteer and professional capacities for PA Stands Up, the Cumberland County Democratic Committee, the East Pennsboro Democratic Club, and campaigns for Nicole Miller, Tara Shakespeare, and Shanna Danielson. Colleen is a graduate of the Emerge PA training program, and she was awarded the JFK Award for Visionary Leadership and Innovation by the Cumberland County Democratic Party. She lives in Enola, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, with her husband and three children. Colleen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here. I am a longtime listener, first time caller. So I'm very excited.
There you go. There you go.
Friend Big of fan. The show.
I don't have the sound drop yet, so I got to put that one in. So,
there you go.
Fantastic. Well, I'm thrilled. Like, number one, I'm thrilled that you're running. I mean,
thank you.
As soon as, you know, you made it known that you were running, I said, okay, we're going to have to get her on the show. But that's good. So, but before I get it kind of way ahead of our audience here, why don't you kind of take us through a little bit about, you know, why is it that you decided to run, especially now kind of in this environment? And what do you see as yourself as kind of, say, bringing to the table?
Sure. I think there's so many things that have brought me to this. But the biggest thing is that I was diagnosed when I was 3 years old, and my involvement in diabetes camp, having so many friends and loved ones with type 1 diabetes. And insulin is just simply unaffordable. Yeah. And the lengths and hoops we have to jump through just to survive are unacceptable. There's a lot of talk about freedom from members of our legislature, and the people in my community, people living with type 1 diabetes, are not free because we are forced to do specific things for our very survival. So that's like the biggest thing. But I've had some very unacceptable encounters with my own state legislator. And I have a lot of amazing, strong women in my life who have run for office, and they are very inspiring to me. So I decided to do the Emerge program, and that really convinced me that I could do this, and I'm going to do it. So here I am.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, I mean, you talk about the battles that have been going on over healthcare now for so long. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to butcher the saying. You'll know what I'm talking about, but you say something like, it's the people, the people that should be in the ones in power. I'm forgetting the slogan.
Yeah. It's a Ayanna Pressley quote. The people, yes. The people closest to the pain should be closest to the power.
Yes. And I think, you know, and I think about, you know, the fact that, you know, not only, like you said, you've been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, but someone who's been kind of working in that and dedicated, you know, a good chunk of your life, and kind of making sure that, you know, it wasn't just you, say, getting out, but you're making sure that you kind of understand what this is about, right? And then you find ways of kind of giving back. And it seems that in these ongoing strikes around struggles around healthcare, this seems like critical to have people that are in the state house that are prepared to take this on, who know what they're talking about, not just an abstract as an abstract policy wonk, but someone who knows the direct impact that it has on everyday people.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not just about rationing insulin for me. It's about, like I said, like the lack of freedom, right? The number of times I've had to meet people on the side of the road or in a parking lot to give them backup insulin is honestly shameful. At least twice I've met women in parking lots who are trying to get out of abusive relationships, because if they leave, they leave behind their healthcare and their medication. And
I mean, it's unbelievable.
They can't get out otherwise. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, it's absolutely. And we've seen, you obviously know this better than I do, but I mean, my understanding is also the price of insulin, right, has been kind of like skyrocketing over the years too as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's not as if it's just like, okay, you know, it's the most destitute of all destitute people that can't get their hands on. I mean, even then, I mean, I don't care. They should get it too as well.
Absolutely.
But I mean, it's like it's just an increasing number of people that are being kind of like denied access to some, you know, life-saving and, you know, relatively inexpensive drug, right? That has been around, treatment, I should say, that's been around for a long, long time, right?
Yes. It costs about, like, I think they say like $3 to $6 to make per vial, and it costs $275 in America only.
That is.
And
insane. That is insane.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And that's just the insulin, right? Like, that's not even talking about like the tools we need to deliver the insulin, the tools we need to measure our blood sugar and decide how much insulin we need. the doctors that we have to see to get the insulin, like it's the insulin is the bare minimum requirement that we still can't even afford.
Well, it seems that, you know, I mean, I don't know if we seem to be in this kind of weird political moment right now, too, as well. Like, mm-hmm. one, obviously, things got nothing but worse under the Donald Trump administration. Mm-hmm. We even have seen kind of a ramping up within Pennsylvania of that kind of Trumpist contingency. But people did organize, right? People did organize, yes, and get rid of them. And now we see we've got, you know, at the federal level, at least, we've got some proposals in the Biden administration that seem, mm-hmm, to be kind of moving, inching in that direction. I mean, if it was, you know, up to me, I'd be like, Medicare for all. That's, you know, that's it. We're done. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we could say moving at least in those directions. So there's some degree of hope. Yes. And yet, meanwhile, in Pennsylvania, we've got this, you know, this kind of really strong right contingency or contingent of kind of Republicans that are seeking just to block any help for people that who need it, mm-hmm, on the one side. But on the other side, like in Cumberland County, where you're at, we also have seen like a whole new generation of political candidates and social movements that are really changing the game in my mind.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm here, I think. I got involved in the Cumberland County Democratic Party right after Trump was elected. It was clear that they needed more help, right? Because all of a sudden, everybody wants a piece of this. Everybody wants to be involved. So, and I was one of them, and I got in and there and tried to help organize as much as I could. And then I also got involved in, what was Capital Region Indivisible and became Capital Region Stands Up. And moved from there. And yeah, last cycle, year ago now, but it'll be 2 years by the time I'm on the ticket. But we had three amazing progressive women running in Eastern Cumberland County, both in my current district and in the one right next to me where I grew up, actually. And it was awesome. Did better than anyone could have ever expected. So, yeah.
Yeah. And as you know, and I was so glad after that. I mean, we've had like Shanna Danielson and Tara Shakespeare were on the show kind of back in the fall. And one of the things we talked about is, basically what their campaigns help show, right, is that there, mm-hmm, is an appetite for a grassroots movement. And, you know, the fact is, I mean, you know, you don't have to go here with me, but you know, a lot of in the Pennsylvania Democratic Party have really kind of just left behind a whole swath of the state. And you would hear this all the time, but you know, there's no way we're going to win. There's no way we're going to win. And what Shanna and what Tara and Nicole Miller, who was running in kind of your area back, mm-hmm, then, they showed, right? No, that's wrong. What it needs is an investment in kind of people. And so, and I remember there was this time where people were like, well, see this, these progressives, they didn't do so well. And Nikhil Saval kind of jumped in there and said, no, look at the numbers in Cumberland County. Is like that because of their campaigns, right, that allowed, like, look at the number of votes for Joe Biden, right, mm-hmm, over Donald Trump and that. And that has everything to do with those campaigns, right? Now it's about building capacity. So, I mean, and there you sit kind of like in that environment. And so what is it, what's your read of, like, say, people on the ground at this point? I mean, do you see them? Sure. They have an appetite for the kind of thing that you're bringing to the table?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm also I'm also the candidate recruitment chair for the Cumberland County Dems. So I get firsthand, like, I'm in it with the candidates that are currently running even. And we have a record number of candidates running across Cumberland County, everywhere from Camp Hill, which is a very blue area, to Big Spring, which is a very red area. You know, Shippensburg, South Middleton, like rural parts of Cumberland County are looking, people are looking to run and looking to take charge and bring progressive ideas to Cumberland County. And we're moving. We're the fastest growing county in the state. And, you know, that's because young people are moving here. And we're only going to get more progressive, and it's very exciting. And we need to be ready for that. So I'm one of the things that I think Shanna really brought, and she's my best friend now, so also full disclosure there, structure and an example of how to run a really good campaign here and actually make them pay attention to us. from the state party and from the GOP as well.
Yeah, and they've had to. And I think that, it's always a matter, in some ways that, what we saw, say, for example, they always look for these kind of analogs, that it's not exactly an analog, but it always stands out to me what we saw, with the West Virginia teacher strike, for example, is that in that case, the leadership of the union was very no, we can't do this. There's no way we're going to do this. We got to be very moderate. And these teachers were like, look, our kids are suffering. Right. And so we're going to go, we're going to stand up for our kids, we're going to stand up for our communities. And eventually the union leadership saw that, oh, wait a minute, we were wrong, they were right, and we're going to follow them, we're going to get behind them. And it seems to be a little of that going on in Cumberland County, you all, by doing that work on the ground and basically showing us we've done, now suddenly the party's starting to turn and say, hey, maybe we should be paying more attention here,
Frankly, I think my thing is we're tired of leading with the compromise, right? We need to come out swinging, so to say. We need to come out strong so that we can have any win at all, let alone big ones. So
obviously, medical care, that's kind of front and center to a lot of what you're into the campaign. So what are some of the other issues that you see as filling out your campaign?
Sure, education is very important to me. My mom is a teacher. My kids are in public school right now. And our district has the lowest paid teachers in the county. And it's bad. We're losing teachers at a very high rate. And it's very concerning to me personally. And I know it's worse in other parts of the state. And we have a fair funding formula that's not being used in a way that it should be. There are solutions out there and our legislature doesn't care. Or doesn't seem to care, at least. They're too busy with conspiracy theories and whatnot. So there's that. There's so many things. I think we need to finally legalize weed. We need to end death by incarceration is a major thing. There's just a lot. We need common sense gun reform. I'm speaking at the Capitol tomorrow, so on that, because that's an issue that's near and dear to my heart as well. So there's so many things that they could do, and they're not doing any of it.
Well, and that seems to be so much of the case. So, you brought up, stuff around teachers and teachers leaving and lower paid teachers. Mm-hmm. I mean, and is this the kind of issue that you think, let me say, I'm in Perkasie, right? And so we're in a fairly red area, right? You know, there's still Trump flags flying out there saying my president's still here, all that kind of stuff.
Can see one out my window right now.
Yeah. It's the same kind of situation. And, but when you start talking to the parents just about what's happening in the schools, they're concerned about the schools or funding of the schools and the teachers, there's a space for talking about, just common sense stuff to making sure that our education is protected, that our teachers are going to stay here, which has everything to do with just wanting your community to thrive and your kids to thrive. So are you able to have those kind of conversations with folks in your neighborhood, your kids' schools, or that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just at a meeting with a bunch of teachers the other day, or a bunch of parents the other day who are organizing, but the parents in this district are organizing, and it's awesome. It's funny because there are cross political spectrums, right? There are some anti-mask, anti-vax people in this group, and there's some very liberal progressive people in this group, and they're all mad that our teachers are being treated so poorly. I'm involved as much as I can with everything I'm doing, but that's incredibly important to me personally, because my kids just finished kindergarten, so we're in this for a while yet.
Well, and now this is not something that people who are watching us on YouTube or listening to podcasts can see, but you've got the PA stands up sign behind you. You've got the access dancer, right?
I got Obama.
Yeah, you got Obama. Yeah. There you go. But the PA stands up one, I mean, just what you're talking about there with, people are organizing their fight. When that's been, part and parcel, a lot of that model that's come out of the PA stands up too, is look, we're going to talk about people first stuff, right? We're going to talk about what working families need, and we're going to start there. We're not going to start with the big D. We're not going to start with the big R, but we're going to start with the issues that are affecting people and organizing for there. And that really seems to be, the same kind of, energy that's been forming both your campaign and the folks in Cumberland County and some other places across the state too.
Yes, absolutely. And I fully credit Jonathan Smucker for putting me into that mindset, to be honest. And because, I feel like he directed me into that, and it works. It's not just that it works, but it like makes sense and it's important and it feels right. And you know, Jess King too did a great job of doing that in her campaign for Congress. So
yeah, it seems like there's a, you know, crazy things happening, which I'm very, very excited about. So we've got education, we've got kind of like healthcare stuff. So currently right now, I mean, obviously you're running because you think that the person who's currently occupying this area, the representative of the area, is not quite delivering on that idea for the people.
No.
So what's the representation been like up until now?
Well, I can give you a very specific example. When it was 2 years, almost 3 years ago now, when it was HB 2060 was on the floor. It was a bill to take guns away from people who have a PFA against them, a protection from abuse order. Mm-hmm. It seemed like very common sense to me. And people who have a PFA against them already had to have their guns taken. This just shortened the window that made it slightly safer for victims, right? It made it from like a week to a day or something. It shortened it. And changed a little bit of the process to make it even safer. And he voted no, of course, because God forbid we do any kind of restriction that makes victims safe and takes guns away from people in any way. But I was with a group of friends at a event, and he was there, and we approached him and said, "Why did you vote no on this?" And he looked at me in the face. And to be honest, I am also a victim of domestic violence from a previous relationship. He looked at me in the face and said that it gives victims a false sense of security to take a gun away from an abuser because that you could use a baseball bat or a car instead.
Are you kidding me?
No. I wish I had it on video because I
holy cow.
And then he turned around and ran.
Ran, of course he did.
Like Scott Perry ran away.
Scott Perry into the woods, right?
Which is funny story. I was there the other day when he did that. But anyway.
Were you really?
Yeah.
You go away, you screwy web at you.
We can talk about that in a second. But right. First of all, Rothman,
yes,
my state representative. Very disappointed in that response, obviously. And he just, like, all he seems to care about is radar and electric scooters.
Radar?
Yeah, and just like a couple weeks ago, a woman was killed in my neighborhood. Like, I can almost see her house from here. There was a domestic violence call. The cops showed up. 4 minutes, they left. 4 minutes later, they were called back, and the woman was laying in the same spot she was standing.
Wow.
And she had been shot by her father.
Wow.
Yeah. But my state rep thinks taking the gun would give her a false sense of security.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. Well, it's not unbelievable. I mean, that's
yeah.
The, you know, even that language of me saying it's unbelievable, that, I mean, we can no longer use that kind of language because it's not unbelievable. It's always shocking and always believable given our current culture, which is, you know, I mean, I think it's the one thing that I've been thrilled to see too, as well, is like, you know, I mean, a lot, especially in Cumberland County in the area, is that you find the like most powerful organizers and stuff are women. Right.
Yeah.
And the women
Absolutely.
Are really, you know, and I think, you know, that kind of mentality, right. Of like the story you just told about Rothman. I mean, there is no other way of getting rid of that other than kind of replacing these, you know, a kind of men in the state legislature with women. Because there is, you know, even the best, like, you know, again, I mean, I'm obviously a guy, right. But I mean, even like, as you know, I grew up for a good chunk of my life in a single parent family. I shared this with you, you know, beforehand. So like my sister was mentally handicapped, like as a result of, you know, some medical malpractice and things. And I've always had the kind of strong identification with a lot of what my mother had gone through. I mean, we were on food stamps and we had to kind of struggle through when she, you know, totaled her car one day, she was like devastated in the house because she didn't know what the hell was what she was going to do.
Yeah.
And it was only because of, you know, the like friends in the community and people that kind of like, you know, came together to help out that kind of got us through these times. And so I've always had that kind of point of identification. But still, I mean, you know, there is, you know, even given that, I could say, look, women need to be you know, absolutely, be behind the wheel at this point. And, you know, given what we've seen both at, you know, with the Me Too, like, kind of movement that came up, but with a series of kind of legislation has been pushed, some of the, the legislation has been pushed by women legislators that have come in about getting rid of these, you know, I'm just forgetting the name, not CDAs, that's not right, right? The agreements that tell people they can't talk.
NDAs.
I don't know. I was just completely spec. You know, getting rid of those things, right? Making sure. I mean, and that's really spearheaded by women, and kind of an argument for why. An explanation for why it is that women are doing the organizing, right, around the guns issues, around kind of domestic violence, but also transparency and kind of equity, and you know why we need more folks in the state legislature like yourself.
Absolutely, and like shout out to Emerge, they've been doing such amazing work, and they're the reason why I'm here, really, and Mary Jo Daly and Tina Davis, who got that rolling, with the goal of getting more Democratic women in the legislature, and they're doing it, and it's awesome.
That's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah,
it's absolutely fantastic. So, like, so what is it, just so folks have a sense of kind of what our timeline looks like here? Like, what is so when we're going to see, when did we going to start seeing campaign stuff start really ramping up? When does that kind of really get kicked into full gear?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm probably looking at like the early fall for like an official launch. I kind of accidentally tweeted the other day that I was running, and so here I am.
And here you are.
I could not pass up the opportunity to link Greg Rothman to Rick Santorum. I couldn't pass it up. They're friends. They're friends, everyone. You have to know. They're really good friends. They're both terrible.
It's clear.
Early fall, probably, for like an actual launch. I'm raising money now, though, so if anybody everybody wants to chip in, ColleenForPA.com, really easy to remember. And so petitioning won't be until probably March, but who knows, they might delay that. That's it.
Well, and this is why, you know, I mean, I knew we're kind of a little ways out from the kind of the big launches and things like this. But one of the main reasons, you know, I wanted to have you on as soon as possible is because, you know, I think that from kind of in the progressive community, especially, right, we need to be looking at, you know, getting behind candidates early. Right. Yes. And especially so we start saying where do we need to have organizers? Right. You know, obviously money. Right. There'll be a link in the show notes today to make sure, you know, folks want to donate to your campaign. This is how you do. Absolutely. But, you know, even more importantly, those folks that the volunteers that are willing to come forward, that are doing some of the organizing, doing the calling, because, you know, Cumberland County is one of these places that people need to be paying attention to. You know, we've had some major victories in, say, Philadelphia in the Democratic primaries, which has been absolutely fantastic. And now I think, you know, we see this burgeoning movement needs to be thinking about power in a pretty kind of like straightforward way, which, you know, all eyes on Cumberland County and everybody on this campaign, folks.
Yes. Appreciate that very much. Yeah. And I mean, I'll be out there knocking doors this summer. I mean, I always am with our municipal candidates. This is, you know, my shtick. But this time I'll be carrying my card as well. And hitting doors probably all over Eastern Cumberland County for our municipal candidates and school board candidates, which are also extremely important places where we need people to progressives in power, for sure.
Absolutely.
And nothing has shown that more than the past year. So
absolutely. 100%. Yeah. Absolutely. Just want to remind everybody that we're talking right now with Colleen Gray Wynn. She is running for PA state legislator in Cumberland County. Right now, that is the 87th district, but that may change because of redistricting. So we're going to be following her campaign, kind of directing as many eyes as we can toward her campaign. And as we have more candidates that are coming forward too as well, that are, you know, again, fighting for working families, fighting for, you know, like fighting for the kind of like democracy and state that we should have just as a, you know, baseline. But then so much more. And it seems to be a time to do this. And so I just want to like give a shout out to those folks who are on YouTube right now and maybe listening to us to hear that there are links in the show notes that if you want to kind of join in, you have any question, you have a comment, you like for Colleen, or like to just kind of add in your kind of perspective on things, please do. And just a couple kind of quick tips if you do this, if you want to join in, what you want to do is you want to kind of silence your YouTube. right? And then you want to call in through Riverside, because there'll be a little bit of a delay if you don't. If you ever called into a radio show before and you get this kind of echo feedback thing, same principle there. So what you do is just kind of you minimize your YouTube or whatever, and then kind of you can call in, click on that little link, and you can call in. We can take your questions, comments, or thoughts on, say, Riverside FM, and you can do that from now to the end of the show. So if you do, we'd love to hear from you, love to hear your perspective or thoughts that you might have, questions you may have for Colleen. So Colleen, I got to ask you about this because, sure. Like, I got to ask you about Beer Week. I just have to do it.
Please.
And for a couple things, and like, you know, again, I don't know how deeply you want to dive in this, but you know, I just found out that, you know, here, you know, that you're the co-founder of Harrisburg Beer Week, which I was like, no way. I mean, how did I not put this together before? I mean, I've talked with Sean enough about it, right? Know this, but, and I bring that up in part because, one, obviously, we know we have Beer Rec. We talk about some craft beer stuff here on the show, but more so because, like, you know, the beer industry, the craft beer industry in Pennsylvania, like, on the one hand, has been a boom for, like, like so many communities, like, across the state. And then, but like we've seen also in this past month, now we've seen that, you know, the craft beer industry has a certain degree of reckoning that it's kind of going under right now. And we're going to have Erin Wallace on the show, kind of in a couple of weeks. She is, she owns Devil's Den down in Philadelphia, which is a gastropub. She's also a co-leader of the Pink Boots Society that's kind of looking at kind of sexism and kind of abuses in the craft beer industry. And but more broadly, supporting women brewers and women in the industry. And that's kind of like its main stuff. But so, you know, it seems to me like, you know, like here we are again, right? With this kind of, on the one hand, this boon to local communities and kind of, especially kind of young cultures, but also seeing kind of woven through with kind of sexism, racism, as you'd see in these other places. And, so I'm just kind of, you know, curious, like, here you are, like, with the experience of that industry. Any kind of thoughts on that, or, you know, even like where this kind of fits in with the message that you want to even bring to folks in your campaign?
Sure. Well, in terms of like the recent stuff that's been happening, my first thought was freaking finally.
Yeah.
Like, finally. I mean, I was lucky. I worked for a brewery that I did not have any of that. It was a wonderful, amazing place to work, and I love it very much still. And I'm lucky. But as far as the industry as a whole, like as an art form, I've loved it for a very long time, and supporting local breweries and supporting local businesses is why the reason we started Harrisburg Beer Week. And I think that's an important thing to talk about in this post-COVID moment. But we have to reckon with all of this and make it a more inclusive place for everyone, which is something we've been, one of the reasons why we did Harrisburg Brew Week, right? We were four women who started I don't want to like sound like I'm tooting my own horn here, but like we've been told probably the best beer week in the state.
Like people have said,
you know, like another beer week folded in the middle of, while we were doing ours still. And we kind of had a very specific vision. And we're able to see that through for the length of its existence, and I'm proud of that.
Yeah, you should be. I mean, I even have you know, I bought my wife one of the t-shirts from one of the years, like, because it was like the awesome design. It's like it was phenomenal. So I bought it, and she like wears it all the time still. It's like,
fun fact is our wonderful designer Lauren Duff, who designed all our Harrisburg Brewery stuff, also designed my logo.
Well, there you have it. See that? Yeah. It's like, what do they call it in the corporate world? Synergy. It would be like synergy.
Yeah, well, and I met her because she worked for one of the local diabetes organizations.
Well, and that's
it all comes together.
Well, and that's really what it's about, right? I mean, you know, and I just think that, you know, I look at it too as well. And, you know, I don't know how you've done all that you've done. I mean, you know, I look at the stuff that you're involved with, and you know, that's why I think that I was so like over the top when you said, and by the way, you know, one of the co-founders of Harrisburg Beer Week, because, you know, you've got just this wealth of accomplishments already that are all rooted in kind of building community, right? And kind of supporting people and getting behind them, which is, you know, again, you know, I could see is like on, well, we need better people to write bumper stickers than me, certainly. But,
well, thank you for one. Yeah. Sometimes I don't have time to do it all, which is never a good thing, but I'm lucky to have a very supportive partner who's sitting across the room from me right now. So it's weird because I'm talking about him and I don't know if he knows it. my mom is amazing. So she can help me with kids. And to be honest, like, I mean, this is going to get a little, but like, I couldn't afford to work when I found out I was having twins.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't afford to put them in childcare, so I wasn't working. So to keep myself sane, I started doing other things, and now I'm here. Now I have a ridiculous list of things that I do, but I love all of it. So, and I'm here. It's brought me here.
And here you are. And so, and mm-hmm. then the other, okay, now this gets me down to kind of, okay, I don't want to get like, to like, so let's talk kids. So,
sure.
because I mean, this past year also has been, I mean, a strain on every single family across the state.
Yes.
Given COVID and all this. And, you know, I was fortunate enough, you know, I teach at Kutztown University. All my classes went online. Mm-hmm. My son is fully online. My daughter was kind of hybrid until they kind of just put him back into school like a few weeks ago because of the mm-hmm. freaking PSSAs, but whatever. That was hard.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and my wife works in medicine, and her, during COVID, she was working nonstop. Mm-hmm. And the struggles that, say, we had as a family, right, you know, we're fairly comfortable, right, and had resources and flexibility in our jobs. And that was extraordinarily lucky. But you look at, you know, this kind of post-COVID time, and it seems like this is also a time for vision about what could be. And it always makes me extraordinarily nervous about these calls for, say, going back to normal or the way things were. I'm just curious your take on that, because, you know, I like to ask people this kind of stuff because I find myself thinking a lot about that lately.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. Like, I just did a meeting with Moms Rising the other day. We met with Senator Casey to talk about this exact thing. And, you know, we talked about COVID really like opening the wound, you know what I mean, for everyone, or like showing this rift that was already there. You know, I couldn't afford childcare when my kids were born. And now everyone's seeing how hard it is when you have to be out of work and there's nothing you can do to get caught up to be able to afford childcare. It's something we have to fix if we want to quote unquote get back to normal. I think we need a new normal. We need to be investing in things like childcare for everyone, because otherwise there's no way we're going to ever get to an economic place that we need to be. And like, it's all about freedom for families and women. Like, again, I'm not free if I don't have the choice whether I want to work or not. So yeah, that's where I'm at. And for me personally, like I was working for PA Stands Up for a while, and then Tara Shakespeare needed a field director. So I jumped in and did that. But then, you know, after the election, I was unemployed, and trying to find a job where I could like be home part of the time while my kids were doing hybrid school. I also have a stepdaughter, and she goes to school in a completely different school district, and they're on a completely different plan.
Wow.
You know, a different schedule. So like, she ended up doing we just put her in virtual school. It was just easier for everyone, easier for her. And she's awesome at it, which is good. Like, a lot of kids aren't, but she handled it well. And but like, then I had to be here to be with her. So like, there were no options. There was no option that we could afford. There's no option that had the flexibility for our family. And that's the thing, like, not everybody has a 9 to 5 5 day a week, every day, even family. Like, there has to be flexibility and there has to be affordability.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, the way that the economy has gone to as well, when you have like, I was shocked to find that, you know, I knew it was a higher percentage than I had thought, but like 35% of our economy now is in the gig economy. And like, mm-hmm. people said, oh, great flexibility. I said, no. The gig economy means like you're always on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the gig economy is not like, you know, it's the utopian world where everyone gets it. No. The gig mm-hmm. economy is like you're always on. And if you are going to make ends meet, then you have to be basically on call 24/7. 24/7 in order to make ends meet. So, absolutely, you know, yeah. And I think also this past year has exposed that. Right.
Yes.
Because, yep. you take folks. OK, yeah. You want to get paid. Yes. You're gonna have to put yourself at risk and we're not going to help. We're not support you. Sure. We'll give you an extra quarter. Right. A quarter an hour to kind of do your job. But that's it. Yeah. And even those folks, I mean, they're like, I'm not doing that again. Are you kidding me? Oh, we're the frontline workers that can be supported. And then now we're all reopening and we're going to forget, back to your Amazon warehouse, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have so many friends who are bartenders and servers and. They all got different jobs. Like they're all, you know,
right.
They're like, you can't rely on this job anymore. I mean, that was the thing for me. Like I was like, well, bartending, you know, serving beer will always be my backup. Like, but then COVID happened and bartending couldn't be my backup anymore. Right. That's scary.
Right. Indeed. Well, I just hope that there's going to be major revisioning kind of going forward. And, you know, what I hope when right around when you get the time where you're getting ready to kind of launch, you're getting ready to go out there, I have you back on.
Awesome.
I'd love to do, you know, whatever I can on kind of this end to help kind of support kind of what you're doing, help the work that's out there. And before we get kind of start closing out, is anybody, as a reminder again, you'd like to kind of have kind of questions or concerns, you can either kind of use the YouTube chat or you can kind of join us here on Riverside if you have a question or call in before we take off. So let me ask you this then. So if you had to leave folks with kind of a particular message or kind of an idea about kind of what you're kind of bringing here or about your campaign or about kind of or even just about you, what do you want to leave folks with this evening?
We need people in office who have experienced the things that they're actually dealing with, that have experienced the problems that we actually need to solve. My family is afraid to lose healthcare. We're afraid. We struggle to pay healthcare sometimes. We struggle to pay for childcare. We struggle to pay student loans still. We need the people, like you said, the people who are closest to the pain need to be closest to the power, and there needs to be more women at the table. And I want to do it. I'm here. I'm going to do it.
100%. Well, we're going to be there for the entire ride. Everybody, Colleen, thank you so much for kind of joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? I mean, I was thrilled.
I'm a fangirl. It's, yeah.
Well, I'm the fanboy of you. So, you know, here we go. We can just do a little old fan session. How's that? Right, exactly. You know, definitely we're going to be staying in touch over the summer and making sure that we can help out with your campaign. And, want to remind everybody that you can go to the show notes. There's going to be a donation button there that you can kind of give what you can. And if you're someone you just can't afford to give at this point, right, you can always kind of reach out and ask Colleen how you might be able to help, right? Mm-hmm. If that this is how we are going to win and support our candidates, right, by getting behind folks early, right, and giving what we can, right? And we're not all going to give the same thing, but we're all going to kind of get behind and help support folks. So Colleen, it's great talking to you tonight, and we're going to be talking to you again soon, I'm sure.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right, everybody. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. I kind of always love hear people. I just want to kind of give a little kind of quick announcement just so everybody knows you're coming up and out to Coop Live for the next few weeks. We got a busy couple of weeks coming up. Next week, we've got Cory Doctorow on the show. He's the author. We're going to talk about his book, How to Destroy Surveillance Capitalism. Then we got 2 days after that, we're going to have Kadita Kenner on. She is the executive director.
Sorry, that was just me cheering for Kadita.
Yeah. She's going to be on. I'm thrilled to talk to her of the New Pennsylvania Project. Kind of is going to get behind voter rights and expanding kind of like the voter pool here in Pennsylvania. And we need her more than anything. And she rocks the house. And then we're going to have, as I mentioned before, we're going to have Aaron Kennedy on. Aaron Wallace on from owner of Devil's Den and co-leader of the Pink Boots Society, talk about more about the craft beer industry and some recent revelations. But you can also join us on Wednesday of this week with Cyril Michaleko for the Wednesday show. But as of tonight, once again, all thanks go out to Colleen. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight. And we'll see you all next week or on Wednesday. Sean will not be here this Friday. He is on vacation. So I'll have a surprise show for you on Friday. I haven't quite figured that out yet. Then announcement about what we're going to do the following Friday, but that's a secret right now. See ya! Can't tell if I exist.